Blog Talk Radio.
Mississippi is still a very rough place. You know, people is not just walking up like they used to do in the past, walking out, you know, shooting a man down or getting maybe 200 or 300 people carrying out and lynching you, but it's in a small, subtle way. You know, they let you starve to death, not give you a job. These are some of the things that's happening right now in Mississippi. See, Mississippi is not actually Mississippi's problem. Mississippi is America's problem. Because if America wanted to do something about what has been going on in Mississippi, it could have stopped by now. It wouldn't have been in the past few years, between 40 and 50 churches bombed and burned. You see, and this leads me to say, you know, all of the burning and bombing that was done to us and the houses, nobody never said too much about that, and nothing was done. But let something be burned, you know, by a black man, and then, my God, you know, you see, the flag is drenched with our blood, because, you see, so many of our ancestors was killed because we have never accepted slavery. We had to live on it, but we've never wanted it. So we know that this flag is drenched with our blood. So what the young people are saying now, give us a chance to be young men respected as a man, as we know this country was built on the black backs of black people across this country. And if we don't have it, you ain't going to have it either, because we going to tear it up. That's what they're saying. And people ought to understand that. I don't see why they don't understand it. They know what they've done to us. All across this country, they know what they've done to us. This country is desperately sick, and man is on the critical list. I really don't know where we go from here.
We've been down so long, we ain't got no other way to go but up.
An icon of civil rights history tells her own story in words and song.
I question America. Is this America? The land of the free and the home of the brave.
I want Jesus.
If I hate you because you hate me, I'm no better than you are.
Fannie Lou Hamer's America. The following program contains mature content, including racial epithets used in historical context and descriptions of violence. Viewer discretion is advised.
Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show here in Fresno, California. We are here today, March 8th, here, 2022. We are just happy to be on the show today. There's been a lot going on. We have reactivated our show, looking for many of you to come on and say your piece, say whatever you want to say. You won't be censored. And just want to give a shout out to all the freedom fighters, all the Africans, we say Hotep to you. Man, it's just a blessing to be above ground. There's just a lot going on right now, even here in my community, around my church, driving up the freeway. I mean, it's just all types of stuff going on right now. And this month is Women's Month, but I will give a disclaimer. Every month is Women's Month. You with Dr. Harris. You with Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show here. We have a special guest for you tonight. She is a woman. I would say she's a revolutionary freedom fighter in her own way. We'll be getting with her in a few minutes, but we just want to just say I hope you had a good day today. It's been a long day for me. You know, I'm starting to learn now that the society right now that we're living in, we just don't know what's going to happen from day to day. So if you wake up in the morning and you're able to see the sunlight, the day of break, you're able to go to sleep at night. I mean, we just don't know what's going to happen right now. I mean, you could be sleeping in your bed, life can shoot through your window. I mean, we just don't know. And so we really have to stay prayed up all the time and thank the Creator for everything that He do for us. And so, again, this is Women's Month, March, in the month of March. Last night, we kicked off the show with Women's Month, talking about different women who do not get the recognition. I mean, we always hear, you know, all due respect to Coretta King and Rosa Parks and Fannie Lou Hamer, but, you know, they're all deceased right now. And we cannot forget about them. We don't want to forget about them. But we also have people who are alive today doing great work in our community. And we talked about some of them yesterday, and we'll be talking about some more of them tonight. Hopefully I'll get Arlene Reed on the show before the month is over with. We got to hear her voice. She's a pioneer here in this community. And I'm just looking at the board. It's lighting up right now. People are tuning in. That's a good thing. Listening to your brother, Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show, because we keep it real, we keep it 100. And, you know, we're very unapologetic about it. And we're going to be who we are. We're African people here in a strange foreign land called America. And so hopefully, you know, I'm praying and planning to go to some other countries this year. Hopefully, if Lord's willing, I want to get out of America for a while and kind of see the world. I think we're caught up in America, and we don't understand that there's a big, big world out there, and we need to go out there and see it, talk to people, network, and et cetera. But anyway, welcome back to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. This is Women's Month, and tonight we have our special guest. One and only, she needs no introduction, Minister Wanda Johnson here from the Free AME Ministries here is planning a prayer breakfast. And we're going to want to have her talk about why she having a prayer breakfast during a time like this. And so what is this prayer breakfast for? Who's invited, who's not invited. If there's someone's not invited, she'll let us know. But if everyone's invited, then that's fine too. And what will the community get out of this prayer breakfast? And so we just want to thank her for taking her time out to come on tonight. And it is 8:00. Can't see the time. 8:08, and we're not going to keep you long tonight. You know, we just keep it at 100. If you want to call in, 516-453-9066. I apologize for not putting the phone number on the live stream, but we are with Blog Talk Radio right now. We're going live across the world, international right now, and so you know how I do it. Anything I do, the world knows about it. All right. Anyway. Y'all know I'm crazy. I like to have fun. But anyway, we're going to bring our guests on right now. Earlier, I was playing Fannie Lou Hamer. She's an icon of mine, and I just love that sister. I've been to Mississippi at least 3 times, and I have not been to her location. And the next time I go to Mississippi, I will be making time to go visit the area, her farm that she created for our people who needed housing and things like that. I mean, You guys got to go look at Fannie Lou Hamer, the documentary of Fannie Lou Hamer. I mean, this sister was a mover and shaker. And, you know, these are the type of women that we need today, you know, movers and shakers, women who's going to stand up, speak truth to power. You know, don't be scared. Don't be, you know, shaking in your boots, you know. It's either right or wrong. And y'all know how it rolls, either right or wrong. And so Fannie Lou Hamer, she left a legacy here. And that's what we have to pass down to our children. One of the things that we're doing over at Free ME Ministry, where I'm the pastor at over at 806 College, we now going to be showing the five series of Hidden Color. Five series of Hidden Color. And we're not going to push through this real fast. I'm only going to show 1 hour a weekend. And you're invited to come. It starts at 11:30. And we're only going to show an hour, and then we're going to have a dialogue for at least about 30 minutes. Then we'll have some snacks and things like that. The kids are coming out. They're learning. They're excited, you know, about what we're doing. And so 806 College here, Free ME Ministries, there where I am the senior pastor there, senior pastor Dr. Floyd E. Harris, Jr. And so we just want to, you know, give thumbs up to everybody. We appreciate you. We love you. We have our sister CJ here from New York. Hey, girl. Hey. Y'all know I'm crazy. And we just thank Sister CJ. She's a poet, man. Y'all got to hear this, sister. She, man, woo, she'll make my dreadlocks stand up. That's how good she is. And she be throwing it down. We just thank CJ for her commitment to our people and her positiveness. And I'm going to get her on the show, you know. Like I said, we're coming back strong now, and, you know, we're going to reach out across the world. She wants to come to Fresno and do a fundraiser for Freedom School, and we just love her for that. Man, I'm writing a book about myself. I haven't sent her the rough draft. I'm kind of scared to send her the rough draft of my book. I don't know what she's going to think about me. But anyway, thank you for the hearts, my sister. We're going to go ahead and bring our one and only on. From Free ME Ministries, Minister Wanda Johnson. Minister Wanda Johnson, are you with us tonight?
Yes, I am. Me here.
Hey, there she is. She is in the studio. She's in the studio. Everybody get thumbs up. All right, there she is. We're glad to have you in the studio with us, Minister Johnson. And you're going to be having a prayer breakfast coming up real soon here. And you're going to be having a block party, what I'm told about. And so we want to kind of hear what your plans are, who's invited, you know, what they're going to get out of this prayer breakfast coming 7 o'clock in the morning, because you got to be there at 7:30. That means you got to at least be up by 6 or 5:30 drinking your coffee to get this. So we're going to go ahead and turn the floor over to you, Minister Johnson. Go ahead and run with it.
Oh, well, first of all, thank you for having me on this show. My first time, so bear with me. Yes, I'm very excited about just being able to address the issues that's going on in our community. Yes, I am a minister of the gospel. That's my first, you know, give honor to God in everything that I do. And God has revealed to me that our community needs the church, so, you know, I don't know if everybody know, but our church is involved in trying to stop the spread of COVID-19. We've been doing testing at our site for the last 6 months or so, and it's kind of, well, our community is not coming out to get their test. So it seems as though a lot of people in the community.
So when you say community, can you define who specifically are you talking about when you say community? Because community is everybody.
Okay. We are, we're targeting the African-American community, but we live in Fresno, California, so anybody is welcome to come to get their test. So the community that I'm talking about is anybody that's in Fresno. We have advertised to Fresno. We would like for the African-Americans You know, because it has hit the African Americans, us African Americans, more so than it hits other people. So we're trying to put forth efforts, and the church has gotten involved in, you know, trying to figure out what's going on in our community. Why is it that the Black community has been hit so hard with this COVID-19? It's like Russian roulette. You know, some of us make it and some of us don't. We don't know why, but it's Russian roulette. They have, we've got the, you know, they got to put out a lot of stuff to help us. And so in the Black community, we want everybody to come out to get tested just so that you know that you're not positive. Because, you know, some people don't even know. You could be positive, no symptoms, and go home and give it to a family member. I was listening to, I was on a Zoom the other day with a group. The young lady didn't get vaccinated. Her mother didn't get vaccinated. The young lady was out in this community, caught COVID, no symptoms. Went home and gave it to her mother. Her mother was not vaccinated. Both of them wound up in the hospital, ICU, on a ventilator. The daughter made it back home. But the mother did not make it back home. Well, see, all of that could have been avoided.
So when you say the daughter made it back home and the mother did not make it back home, why didn't the mother make it back home?
The mother caught the COVID-19. She was not vaccinated. She passed away.
Oh.
The daughter survived. It's like Russian roulette. You don't know who's going to survive and who's not. The daughter survived. She made it back out the hospital. Of course, she feels really bad about taking it back home to her mother. But based on all the information that we have, it could have been avoided. And that's what we want to do here. You know, my heart goes out to our Black community. We want to avoid any further deaths. You know, we don't have to die from COVID-19. All of the information that we have, now they have a pill. You know, if you do catch COVID-19, I understand. There's a pill, you know, that you can take. But do our community know about the pill, the Pfizer pill? I don't know. Yeah, I heard about it on one of these talk shows. And then the government, the president announced it in his State of Union address. So I know it's real. But do our community know about it? You know, we want more Black people to survive this COVID-19. So our church has gotten involved in doing the testing. And sadly to say, you know, from our site, they do come out, but it's not, you know, it's not overwhelmingly supported like it should be. I get, you know, when I'm out in the community asking people, you know, do you know what your status is? You know, I'm getting answers like, well, I've been vaccinated. Some of them say I've been vaccinated and I don't need to be tested. Some of them say, I'm cool. I don't need to be vaccinated. So I get all kind of answers. So, and it's just heartening. And so we're just putting forth the best effort that we can at the church to reach out to African-American, Blacks, and all people. You know, let's do what we can to stop the spread of COVID so that we don't have another death in our community. And
We have a question, Minister Johnson, and I want to read it to you. We'd like to welcome everyone to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. We're broadcasting here on the West Coast, Fresno, California, better known as Mississippi Fresno. I just love saying that every night on the show. And so one of the questions that one of our supporting listeners wrote, she said, so it really doesn't matter if you are vaccinated or not. Folks are dying with or without the vaccination.
Okay. Now, of course, I'm not a doctor. I'm not in the medical industry. All I do know is the statistical information that I have read. Statistics show that's true. You may die with it or without the vaccination, but more people die without the vaccination. That's That's just a fact. 9 out of 10, if you don't have the vaccination, you know, it's a greater possibility of death. But with the vaccination, it's less possibility based on statistical information of, you know, when you look at the statistics for our community, and that's what we all need to do, go to the Web CDC website and look at the statistics on our community. You know, yeah, that's true. But look at the statistics to see, you know, how does it rate in our community versus other communities, versus how does it compare to people who have never been vaccinated. You know, how many of those people died? So how many of those died versus the people that have been vaccinated and got the COVID-19? You know, you look at the statistics. That's all I can say. And when I looked at the statistics, more people died without the vaccination than they did with the vaccination.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, we thank you for your answer there. We want to thank everyone for attending Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show, the number one show in the world with movers and shakers, shakers and movers. And we're just glad to have everyone that is with us today. We're getting more and more folks on the live stream. Just want to thank my cousin Sean Harris from Colorado. He's been a mentor to me all these years. And I just want to thank my brother for coming on, CJ Watkins. I think that's all we have right now. And so let's talk about the breakfast that is coming. What can you walk us through? Walk us through the yellow brick road on that Monday morning at 7:30 in the morning. So walk us through that day and see, and who is welcome to come, and what should they expect?
Okay, again, we are targeting the unvaccinated people because, again, more people do die without the vaccination than they do with the vaccination. And so we are targeting those. Of course, everybody is welcome to come. We're not turning anybody away. Everybody is welcome to come. But we just want to present information, you know, from experts in the field, you know, not me because I'm not an expert, but for people who have credentials and, you know, what they're talking about. I can listen to them and then tell somebody else what, you know, what I've heard, but these people will be there, like somebody from the medical industry will be there to talk about the vaccine. We'll have the preachers there to talk about, you know, encouraging or, you know, from the biblical point of view, on what they see, because our preachers, you know, they see a lot. They get to deal with all of the issues in our community, and we'll hear from them. You know, whatever they're going to be saying, we're going to hear from the preachers in our community, because everybody cares about our community. We want our community to, let you know, be a lasting community. We don't want any more people to die from COVID-19. If it's possible to save them. And that's what we want. So the prayer breakfast is scheduled for March the 19th, 2022, 7:30 in the morning. It's mainly it's an event of information. We want to get all information to, you know, to the community, to everybody that's going to be attending. We want to give them some good information. We want to be able to answer questions. We want to be able to give them information they can take home and read, just so they can make their own informed decision. No pressure. It's just we want people to have their information and they can make their own decisions. And we'll be talking about COVID-19, the vaccination. We'll be talking about other prevention, you know, preventive measures from the COVID-19 to prevent us from dying from COVID-19. And we would like to offer some free gifts to those who actually get vaccinated that day. So we'll be offering that, and our theme is blessed is one who finds wisdom, and we want everybody to get some, you know, get revelation of wisdom and knowledge, and so they can make informed decisions. Not going by hearsay, not going by what happened in the past, not because some people, they're not supposed to take the COVID-19 vaccine based on their, you know, their health issues. So, of course, we don't want them to take the COVID-19, but we want them to do, you know, take other measures to help make sure that they survive if they get the COVID-19. We want people to know the ones who can't take the vaccine, there is medicine available now. I know before there was no medicine available, but we want people to know. I don't know if the whole community know it or not, but we want to make sure they all know everything that we have to share, or what these medical people have to share, what the preachers have to share about this COVID-19. So everybody will be informed, and people will get some knowledge, some wisdom, make decisions, you know, make decisions based on information and knowledge, not based on what happened 100 years ago. Yeah, a lot of bad things happened 100 years ago. A lot of bad things happened 50 years ago. And our community was not as alert. We didn't even have, you know, we don't have all the technology that we have today back then. Because when COVID-19 hit, I mean, it showed the whole world a lot. It showed us so much. It showed us all about the disparities in the medical industry. You know, when black people go to the hospital, I mean, I felt it myself. This is my own personal testimony. When we go to the hospital, they really do treat us different. They really do feel like we are invincible people. Black people really don't have real pain. Oh, you know, we can sit them on the side and handle everybody else. Like, it's, they really do. When I was in the ER myself, they was treating me like I was nothing. Somebody had to advocate for me in order for me to get some help. And then I heard it during the COVID-19, some of these nurses said, yeah, we were told that black people this and black people that. Black people don't give black people medicine because they're going to get addicted to it. Like, it was a mess. Anyway, you all know, everybody know about how this industry is. And I found out, I mean, I felt it, but I really found out more during the COVID-19 when it was exposing everything about that medical industry. And so we found out one of the reasons why we were dying more often than other people is because when we went to the ER, they didn't treat us, you know, they didn't give us that care that they gave to everybody else. So we need, as a community, African-American community, we need to advocate for each other, advocate for ourselves, because we just, you know, what they say, Black Lives Matter. Yeah, for real, we do matter. Don't be treating us different.
So basically, you're just creating a platform for people to come and get information, to network, to talk, whatever. I mean, you're not putting a gun in anybody's head saying, oh, you better get vaccinated. You're not putting anyone down. You're just creating a positive venue where you can just come and talk and share information. And I don't see anything wrong with that. And there's a lot of people, and I know a lot of them myself, that is totally 110% against the vaccination, even getting the COVID testing against that. And I respect that. I respect that. And I'm not one to put anyone down, you know, pro or con. It's an individual choice. It's an individual decision on, you know, what you want to do with your life. This is your body. This is your temple, and you have a right to take it or not take it. That's just the bottom line of it. But I don't get into arguments with people and, you know, raising your blood pressure. I respect everyone's decision. I want people to respect my decision. So, you know, if it is something that the government has planned to genocide all of those, you know, who have taken the vaccination and say, oh, well, you know, you're going to die in a year, you're going to die in 2 years, or you're going to die in 3 years, then, hey, you know, whoever took it, and they got to live with it. So, you know, whoever didn't take it, whoever did not take it, then I guess they have nothing to worry about. They'll be seeing those who've taken it be placed in the ground. So I do know a lot of people, good friends of mine, pastors who have passed away from COVID, Matter of fact, Pastor, can't think of his name. The Purple Church. can't think of his name. I don't know if you can help me out, minister. Next to the AME church around the corner from our church.
Apostle Hall?
Apostle Hall, I was told, passed away from the COVID. So, you know, I mean, I don't know what to say. You know, I just think, you know, to create a venue for people to come and, you know, talk and network, you know, and to eat some food, you know, is a positive thing. And then I'm told that you're going to be having another event. And I think this is more of a block party type setup or environment. Can you talk to us more about that? And the dates and times and all that stuff.
Yes, we want to have a block party with music, fun and games. And again, you know, inviting unvaccinated people and all people to come out and have some fun and listen to information again about vaccines. And at the same time, have some fun. Listen to some music, fellowship, and just connecting with the community, you know, and also seeing how, as a church in this community, seeing how we can connect with people and what can we do to help this community. So it's going to be another, it's going to be a fun day, block party. Hopefully all the preachers will come out again, because I think the community needs to see the preachers and how we care about this community. We're not trying to, again, like just like Pastor Harris said, we're not trying to put a gun to anybody's head and make anybody do anything they don't want to do. We love all people. We're not trying to put nobody down. But we want to create another event and give people another opportunity in a fun way to learn more, get some wisdom and knowledge about what's going on with COVID-19 and what's going on with the African-American community, what's going on with the black community. So, yeah, it's a block party. We want some black leaders to come out and talk to us. And it's a lot going on in the black community. It's really a lot going on. And I don't know if everybody understands, but we need to understand. We need to have the information. And at the same time, hopefully we can have some fun. Listen to some music. Yeah, so the block parties, you know, hopefully we can get the young people out. We can get people in the community, you know, just to talk about what's going on in our community and encourage. We want more people to survive COVID-19 in our community, the black community, in all communities, really. Why were we hit so hard? I don't know. I don't know the answer, but we want to stop that going forward.
So I have a question. How long have your, I'm saying your church, and I'm the pastor of the church, but yeah, how long have your church been, pre-AME, been doing, has been involved in the COVID testing in West Fresno, which was a historical black African community, but now it's more diverse. How long have you been doing this?
We started the testing in around October of last year. Yeah, we started doing, there's a program going, I guess California has tapped into a lot of the churches, and we were one of them, to try to stop the spread of COVID-19 in the African-American community, because, again, the statistics showed that for some reason we died more than other groups. So they put out a lot of efforts towards, you know, trying to figure out why and sending resources towards the African-American community to help, you know, help stop the spread in our community. So we've been doing this since October, and we've been just doing the testing. Now we're going to try to, you know, we're going to do a pop-up vaccination site, two pop-up vaccination sites. We've been doing testing since October of 2021.
Now, I was told by some folks that in the African American community here in California, that our numbers have dropped dramatically for us being positive. I believe in December, if I may. I was told by some folk that the data showed that in December of 2021, that there were 10,000 people tested. And then in the month of January, there was 40,000 people tested. And so those are really high numbers for those who were not tested positive. So, again, I know it's pros and cons. Some believe in it, some don't. But it is what it is. It's here. We got to deal with it. But like I said, I think it's a positive thing that you can bring people together, you know. I mean, at a church, right in the heart of the community. I mean, should the church be involved in COVID testing? Should it not be involved? Should it just sit there with its doors closed all during the week? Should it be open? Well, I tell people all the time, well, a liquor store is open. Liquor store is open from 6 in the morning till 11 at night. And it's pumping Coke 45, Coors, Cisco, you know, all this liquor, Zigzags and Blunts and all this. So if the liquor store, and I preached on this one time, if the liquor store is open, why is the church closed? So I think that, you know, at Free AME, where I'm the senior pastor, we're working hard, you know, trying to find out what is the community need, you know, what is it that you want to see here at your community church. You know, we're looking at putting in computer labs. We're looking at having a game room for the kids. We're, you know, looking at all these things. That Sunday when I walked out of the church, some of the members had drones flying up in the air everywhere. I'm like, what is that buzzing sound? You know, right after church, they had the drones, just took it out the car, just flying up and all this, you know, remote control. So we want to, you know, I want to see, and I can't speak for no one else, facility or anyone ministry, but I want to see the children have fun. A ministry that don't have children, that ministry is dead. And we have more and more children come to our facility now because we're offering something to them, offering positive things to them. So that they can channel their energy in a positive way. We have pool tables. We have ping pong tables. We have tether balls. We have remote control cars. Now we got drones flying everywhere after service on Sunday. And, you know, we like the fellowship. We have a community garden there. We have a game room for the kids. We put in computer. You know, all this stuff that I feel that is important for our children today. And if we don't do it, trust me, the streets will. And, you know, we need to get behind ministries, support ministries that is doing positive things in our community. Because at the end of the day, if we don't do it, the streets will. And so earlier we were playing Fannie Lou Hamer, a sister who I really, really respect. We're going to play a little bit more footage of her. Don't want to keep you long tonight because I know it's real late over in New York. It's a three-hour difference, but we just thank our sister CJ for hanging in there with us. Okay? And so, Minister Johnson, is there anything else that you feel that we Facebook Live here, we got people all over the world, is there any burning, deep, burning hot sauce thing you want to tell us? Did we lose her? Hello? All right, maybe we lost. I know sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I was on mute. Just to say that we are a church on the move. With, as you know, Dr. Harris, social justice pastor. We're there. If you're in the Fresno area, stop by. You know, we always looking for helping hands. So just stop by if you're interested in what we're doing. You can come by and help. Amen.
Yeah, one of the things I'm really excited about is the, you know, I was over there today with Brother Devon, and we're really trying to spruce up the sanctuary for us, making it more modern where, you know, a lot of ministries today, you know, they have light ministries, you know, nice sound system. And, you know, we've really been trying to, you know, make it where it's a pleasing to the eye, but yet, you know, learn, you know, who God is and how, you know, that helps us as a people. And so we were over there today, you know, with more lights and different things like that. And so he was showing it to me, you know, and sprucing up our, you know, our you know, organs and all this other stuff. And so I'm just excited. And I work really, really hard. I say I'm tired and everyone is happy. So I guess that's how it's supposed to go. I'm tired and everyone else is happy. So whatever. That's how it's supposed to be and that's how it's supposed to be. But we just excited for that. But we just want to thank you. And hopefully I'm going to talk to Minister Crystal to get her perspective on what she's doing. She's also part of the COVID program at the Free AME Ministries here in Fresno, California, better known as Mississippi Fresno, and maybe get her on the show, maybe Sister Demetra, and some different people, you know, to get their perspective of what they're doing out in the community, because I will say that Free AME is boots on the ground, and that's how we roll each and every day. We speak truth to power. Our people are in the courtrooms doing court watching and different things like that. We're going to be having the 5 series I just bought of Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We'll be showing that this Saturday for 1 hour, and then we will have a discussion. Our children who are there, who comes for the Saturday school, last week they had to come back with book reports about J. Edgar Hoover, the Black Panther Party, and Black Wall Street. And it was beautiful, you know, the presentation. This week I told them I want them to do research on the red, black, and green flag. What is that? What does it mean to us, et cetera? So we're pumping knowledge. We're planting seeds right now in our children. Okay? That's what we're doing. You know, we're not just talking about it. We're being about it. And so, again, we're not competing against no other ministry. We don't have time for that. We're just doing what God has called us to do, and we're going to do it good, and we're going to do it well. And so, Minister Johnson, we hope that you stay on the line with us. We're going to be playing a little bit more of Fannie Lou Hamer here, maybe about 5 or 6
sure.
minutes of it. And then we're going to go ahead
right.
and sign off tonight. But just stay with us and check out Fannie Lou Hamer.
All right.
We'll
do.
And we've been down so long, we ain't got no other way to go but up. It was 40 million of my people destroyed as they were bringing my ancestors here on the slave ships of Africa. I can forgive Egypt for a lot of things. But when white America changed my name, that was a crime.
My name is Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer.
I'm Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer.
One day you will be proud when you can say, Senator Fannie Lou Hamer, because I'm on my way there.
Freedom is not something to put in your lap. You got to stand up.
I've been beaten in jail till my body was hard as metal. But I'm not stopping. The flag is drenched with our blood. Because, you see, we have never accepted slavery. They know what they've done to us. All across this country, they know what they've done to us.
I question America. Is this America, the land of the free and the home of the brave?
I want Jesus.
were born 1917 in Montgomery County, October 6th.
Born on plantation?
I guess I was.
You know the name of the plantation?
No, I don't. I know my parents moved from Montgomery County when I was 2 years old, and then we did sunflower.
From the plantation then?
Yes, my parents moved on a plantation when I was 2. They moved to a landowner about 4.5 miles from here. I moved to Billy Brandon's plantation. And that's where my father and my mother were sharecroppers. Quite a long time.
Sheep pie, where you live now? Way down in the valley, birds and the butterflies picking at his eye, and the polar thing is crying, Mama, Mama gone, Papa gone, they shall bring some horses, white and all them pretty little horses. When you wake, you eat a pancake and ride the pretty little pony. Go to sleep, go to sleep, go all to sleep, little baby. Mama run away, Papa wouldn't stay. Left nobody but the baby.
We are tired. We are sick and tired of children suffering from malnutrition. People dying. The clothes 2/3 of the people have on here now, the clothes was been sent to. We are tired of that. We are tired. We are tired of a lot of things. We are tired of working for $3 measly a day, going home and being too tired to cook what them we did have.
We have been home.
We have been taught to have dignity and respect. And you know if we are going through being bit by dogs, some of them being shot down, some of them being beat in jail. We're not fighting back, but we going on because of nothing right. What other nation have gone through what we've gone through? You've never heard of no other race but a Negro that marched through a mouse crew just to go to school. Why? We were all kinds. Never have enough food. I said, but the white man be riding around in fine cars. I said, and they have plenty to eat. But I didn't realize at the time he was stealing it from me.
Being one of 20 children, very poor family, sharecroppers in the state of Mississippi, I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to be without clothes. I know what it's like to be without food, to live in a 3-room house with no washroom facilities, just a 3-room shack. So in my earliest childhood, I remember one day I was playing beside this road and the landowner drove up and he asked me, could I pick cotton? And I told him I didn't know. I didn't know. 6 years old, you know, I just didn't know. So he told me, I want you to go out in the field, Fanny, and I want you to pick 30 pounds of cotton. And if you pick 30 pounds of cotton in a week, I'll carry you to my commissary store, and I'll let you get some of the things that you want to eat. So don't you like Cracker Jack? That was exciting because I'd never had that. So I went out in the field and I told my parents,
And my mother asked me that I want to try. And I told her I did. And she told me, said, now, we won't let you cheat. If you pick it, we'll say you pick it. But if you don't pick it, you don't get it. So this made me work very hard. But that week I did pick 30 pounds of cotton. That Saturday, the landowner did keep his promise. He carried me to this commissary store. He gave me some Cracker Jacks and cheese and the Daddy Wide Leg sardines. But I didn't realize what he was doing other than that, because the next week I was past 60 pounds of cotton. By the time I was 13 years old, I was picking 200 or 300 pounds of cotton.
I am 17 years old. I picked 300 pounds of cotton a day.
I am 9 years old. I help my mother pick cotton. I pick 100 by day. I am 14 years old. Now I help my mother pick cotton. I pick about 200 a day.
Now at first, I really couldn't understand what it was that made us never have enough food. We worked all the time, but we never had enough to eat. We never had a chance to go to school. So my first reaction to my parents, especially to my mother, was to raise the question to her and ask her, how come we wasn't white? Now that was my first really being told off and read off at the same time. Because my mother told me, the child, you don't understand what I'm saying now, but if you get older, you'll understand. There's nothing wrong with you being black. And I don't want you to forget that. That if you had, God had wanted you to be another color, you would have been another color. That don't be ashamed of being black. And respect yourself as a child. And as you get older, respect yourself as a black woman. You might not understand what I'm saying now, but one day you will understand. Then finally, my mother bought me the first black doll I had ever seen. But the only doll that she ever bought me was a black doll. And what my mother was doing, I couldn't understand it then, but I understand now. She was at that time teaching me to respect myself. My mother's mother had 23 children, 20 boys and 3 girls. She was a slave.
And we know, as well as you know, that this country was built on the blood and the sweat of black people. And all we are saying to you today, now what you have done in the past, you've done that. But we can't let you get away with just trying to wipe us out. As human beings,
when I was about 13, I began to understand what my mother was talking about. And I prayed to God to give me the chance. And I told him if he would just let me live to get grown, I would get out in the streets and on the turn roads. And I would devote my life was seeing that things would be different for any poor person in the state of Mississippi. We have always been taught that we had to suffer as Christ suffered. But I think in terms of what David had to do,
David was a shepherd boy, but it did come in a time in his life he had to slay Goliath.
Don't turn around, give the girl a day. Oh, Lord, I'll keep the girl a day. Oh, Lord, keep the girl a day. Don't turn around, keep the girl a day. Don't turn around and keep the bill a day. Oh, Lord, keep the bill a day. Oh, Lord, keep the bill a day.
So in 1962, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee came into Louisville. That Monday night, I went over here right around the corner here to this church, William Chapel. And the pastor announced at the end of service that there would be a mass meeting that night, that Monday night. My husband drove me from out in the rural area where I had been working to the church. And when we got there, Bob Moses, Lance Giot, Reggie Robertson, James Bevel, Jim Foreman from SNCC got up and explained how it was our constitutional rights to register and vote. And how it could change, you know, the different laws. Like, if we didn't want a law in the town or what was going on, we could vote about. So that, I thought it was the most remarkable thing that could happen in the state of Mississippi. I'd never heard until 1962 that black people could register and vote. I'd never even heard that that was in the Constitution.
But we go in and live with people, live in their homes, trying to get them to the point where they lose some of their fears. We have to cut across generation of fear.
I went to a SNCC conference in Nashville, Tennessee in November 1962. And the first time I had a chance to just sit next to a white person. I've never been that nervous in my life. SNCC is the type of people, they call them far left, radicals, beatniks and all of this kind of thing. But they still is willing to go into areas. They work with the people that's poor. They work with the people that never have a chance to be treated as a human being. And if it's necessary, some have already done that, have given their lives for the cause of human justice. We would go to places to go in to do voter registration, and we'd talk to people, and we would tell them we was coming back the next day, and by the next day, somebody would be done got to them, and they would want to talk with us. We would be harassed, and we know cars would be passing the house, loaded with white men, and trucks would be passing there with guns hanging up in the back. Well, it was rough. Year after year, things looked like that, worse and worse. The Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee helped to build confidence in people that they were just about to lose all hope. And that's the truth.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. It's our very real pleasure to welcome back to our microphone today former Governor Ross Barnett of Mississippi.
Dick, it's been my pleasure to participate in your program several times. And I'd like to say that it's been my privilege to travel throughout the length and breadth of America during the last few years. One thing that has impressed itself upon me throughout my travels, and that is how similar the people of this great nation really are. No matter where they happen to live, they're all about the same.
I know that you were asked about the state of race relations in Mississippi at the present time. What was your answer to that question?
Well, they always ask that question about race relations, and I told them in substance that until all the communist-inspired agitation began, Mississippi actually enjoyed the best race relations of any other state in the nation. I told them that our white and colored citizens knew one another as individuals, and that they cared about one another as individuals. And despite all of the efforts to create ill will and hatred, that I honestly believe that on a person-to-person basis, that the people of Mississippi still have the most cordial race relations in the nation. And I took...
All right. We're going to stop it right there. We just thank God for Fannie Lou Hamer for all that she has done for our community. You know, like I said, when I go back to Mississippi, hopefully this summer when I take my son back to school, I'm going to go over to her, the statue, the farm she did. Fannie Lou Hamer was one of the ones who started the Freedom Schools. Freedom Schools actually started in Mississippi. And so I just, you know, I don't use the word copycat, but I kind of patterned our Fresno Freedom School behind the Freedom School that Fannie Lou Hamer did. The sister was wonderful. Again, with Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show, we're going to go ahead and end it off. It's 9 o'clock right now. I don't want to hold you too long. I want to thank sister, my sister CJ from New York, who stayed up with us. It's midnight in New York. And we just want to say thank you, my sister, for your commitment to our people. We want to say thank you for all of the poetry that you have written and threw down. We want to say thank you to Minister Wanda Johnson for coming on tonight. This is this month is Women's Month, but I just want to give you a disclaimer. It's Women's Month every month, but we just want to highlight all of you. We will be having Sister CJ on, maybe throwing down some of her poetry, raw and uncut, and we just want to, you know, thank you all for tuning in tonight. This is Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. Please share this stream. We will be showing more of Fannie Lou Hamer tomorrow. Before the show, and kind of, you know, hopefully we get Minister Crystal on tomorrow to see what, you know, she can talk about what she's doing in the community too. And you with your brother, civil rights leader, Dr. Floyd D. Harris Jr. We have our own show, looking to also have a ministry show with, that's right, Power to the People, at Free AME Ministry. We want to be able to create a show for our ministry that will go worldwide. And we just want to say we love you all. Thank you for your support. We appreciate you. Can't say we love you enough. Just thank you for your prayers, your support, the kind words that you give us, the encouragement that you give us. Because, you know, like I said, everybody's happy and I'm tired. I do a lot of heavy lifting. That's why I go to the gym. So I can stay in shape, you know, all this heavy weight on my shoulders and responsibility that I have to do. But I want to make sure those around me is doing well, too. Not just myself, but those around me is growing with consciousness and knowledge at the same time. And so, like I said, we're all learning. We're all in this fight together. Fannie Lou Hamer, she went through hell. Go to YouTube. Type in Fannie Lou Hamer. You know, look her up, see what she did, and I wish I could meet her, just give her a hug. And when I get over there, I'm going to hug her statue, kiss her feet, whatever I can do, and just really feel the spirit of our sister and all that she has done. And again, thank you, Hotep, power to the people, and we're going to say goodnight.